BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from NFL and bowl season to esports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I'm your host, Megan Robinson, joined as always by Eve Batoba and Justin Southwell. And we have a special guest joining us today, the Director of Football Equipment Operations at Oklahoma State University, Justin Williams. Justin Williams, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us this week. Justin Southwell has been looking forward to this since we started.
Licking his chops.
Well, we all go way back, so I wouldn't be just doing this for just anybody. I want him to know that.
Speaking of going way back, I just look at the hoodie that I'm wearing. I got the 2009 season, went to the Cotton Bowl against Ole Miss. Like, that was my first season there, and Justin was always that guy who not only does he do equipment, but I talked about in previous episodes about having a connection to the program, and he's one of those people who make sure that alumni are coming back, are included in the events that are actually happening. So it goes beyond just uniform. So always, always appreciate Justin Williams.
Well, we're all family, right? We're all Cowboys. So it's great seeing you guys back, and it never seems to be long enough. There's not enough time to – so you got to – when you get older, you value the time you have a lot more. So it's always great to see you guys.
No doubt.
Nice. Thanks for having me on, for sure.
We are going to get into what it is that you do, how you come up with the uniform combinations, but we can't move forward without – acknowledging the end of college football season. It ended on Monday night with Georgia winning their second straight national championship, the first team to do that in the CFP era in a blowout. It was a little bit of a disappointing game. We got to be happy for Georgia. And at the end of the day, TCU had the most epic Cinderella story college football probably has ever seen. Guys, brief thoughts on the game.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it just crazy to think that we had TCU down 18 with a minute to go at halftime, and here they went on this amazing run? And as you know, all season I've been beating TCU's drum and saying they're the best team in the country. So it was actually really, really cool to see what they were able to accomplish with a first-year head coach. But like I said in the last episode, it was going to be a blowout. It's just it's hard to just overlook the amount of talent that the UGA Bulldogs have.
And, you know, I actually watched the entire game. I was just – the thought of not being able to watch college football for the next several months kind of bummed me out.
Yeah.
And even though it was a blowout, I couldn't help but appreciate how dominant Georgia was. That's exactly what you want to see, you know, getting on top and then being aggressive until – basically until, like, the last 2 minutes whenever they were able to start taking knees. And, like, you just got to give Georgia props. We just talked about how difficult it was to be back-to-back champions, and they made it look so easy. And it's not that TCU didn't deserve to be there. We saw the full body of work throughout the year. They just beat the number two team in the country in Michigan. They absolutely deserved to be in that game, but Georgia was just that much better.
Yeah, when you talk about us being a family, I was talking to a former teammate of ours at Oklahoma State who played offensive line. He said right after the game, he shot a text to Todd Monken, just said, "Hey, congratulations, coach. You know, love who you are. I love what you do." Literally a minute later, he texted him back and said, "Thank you." I'm like, "Yo, you just won.
You won a national championship and you're texting later,
you
that.
Text him back and say thank you." So very, very happy for Todd Monken, who, in my opinion, is the best play designer in the country.
Yeah, I texted Coach Monken today and just congratulated him, and you're not going to find a more dominant performance than that in a game of that magnitude. And his offense had a lot to do with that. So good for him. Congrats. He had a heck of a run. These last 2 years have been really good for him.
Absolutely.
Justin Williams, I have to ask you the important question about that game. Who wore it best? Which uniforms?
Well, I was kind of surprised that TCU came out without TCU on the side of the helmet. I thought the black look, but you know, in this day and age, you never know. The coach might ask the players what they wanted to wear, and if they felt like that was a good look for them, That's going to go a long way. The comments on the Georgia has a really traditional look. That didn't shock me on the uniform side of it, but I did notice the commemorative patch for our the memorial patch for Vince Dooley, and I thought that was pretty cool. Nice touch for their uniform. So both of them had a lot to kind of take in, but I'm not going to rank them. I think they both did a good job. They both look good.
I think TCU won that. The purple chrome face mask, I think, is just what tipped it over the edge for me.
Good look.
Purple over red. I bright red doesn't really do it for me either. We know that you are responsible for all the uniform combinations, and we're going to get into exactly how you go through that process of deciding what the Cowboys are going to wear week in and week out. But overall, what else does your job entail?
Well, I have my job is pretty easy because I've got such a great staff. I've got two full-time assistants named Lynn Magby and Matt Heinrichs, who do an outstanding job for us. They're both Cowboys and they're committed to the program. And it's great to have guys that are invested as part of the family into this program and into our department. We've got a GA and I got 12 students on top of that. And this last year was the best student staff we've ever had here under my time here, as far as top to bottom. That's not to take anything away from the other students we've had in this program, but they just really embraced it. And it wasn't always easy because when the season starts turning a little bit, you know, it challenges you to put in the hours and keep working and just have positive attitudes and positive energy. I think it challenges everybody, especially when you're emotionally invested in it. Yeah. And they came A+ every day. And that makes my job really easy. And so to get a little bit in further detail, anything revolved around equipment, we're responsible for. So uniforms are obviously on the forefront. Helmets are on the forefront. But we organize practice equipment when they need practice equipment, coaches' communications and headsets. We're responsible for getting that. That 18-wheeler that we pack up for every road trip, that's our responsibility. I hire a driver that's named Jeff Baker out of Kremlin, Oklahoma. He drives for us. He's our number one, and he's done us a great job for a long time. And anything equipment-related, gifts, bowl gifts, you know, all the fun stuff, we're in the middle of it and just try to keep the operation running from this end.
So you're not riding in that 18-wheeler on road trips?
I'm still riding it.
Okay? You are?
I'm the only equipment guy, I think, in the conference, probably in the country, that's still riding the truck. It just gets me back to my roots. People ask me all the time. They're like, well, jump on the plane. And when I was a student here, we drove a rider truck, and we only had one helmet at the time. We'd spend Thursdays after practice getting the helmets ready, and then we all had to pitch in and drive the vans and the rider truck to whatever location we were going to. And I don't know, maybe there's just that connection of being with your equipment and making sure it got from start to finish. And it's a hard thing for me to let go, but trust me, my wife is ready for me to let that go. She wants to see me on that plane. So maybe one day we'll get to that point. But we're just not there yet.
You're going John Madden with it still.
Hey, got to keep it old school, man. Sometimes you got to remember your roots, right? You got to remember your roots.
That's awesome.
So.
It's fun. When they played in Boise in the 21 season, did you drive all the way up to Boise?
Okay, so you hit the one trip. That's the first trip I missed.
Oh, okay.
And I've got good reason. I had some health issues with my family. My dad wasn't doing too good, so I actually missed that trip to Boise. But I did make the trip to Oregon State a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow. And the trip back. And when you're heading to the West Coast, the trip out is not so bad because you make up a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But it all catches back up post game. When you get back this way, those hours catch up to you. And it took a little bit to get back to normal after that kind of road trip. So, yeah.
Would you leave? I mean, because the team normally travels on Thursdays or Fridays. Would you leave on like Wednesday to drive to the West Coast? Or when you play, West Virginia, it's the same thing. You're going all the way east.
We adjust our scheduled departure times based off of the length. And we like to give ourselves plenty of time on the road just because you never know what happens. You know, you get a flat tire here or there, or you have some trouble, you know, especially nowadays, that could be a multi-hour deal. just dealing with that, I think we're going to roll into the new league with the new teams pretty efficiently. We've done a really good job with travel, and the staff's been consistent. And that helps a lot, because there's not a lot we haven't seen as far as travel concerns go. So to be able to manage that and have the same people in place really help us out and make it a smooth transition.
No, absolutely. I remember 2015, whenever I first got to the Miami Dolphins, I'm meeting the equipment staff, Joe Cimino, Charlie Thiel down there. And they were like, "Hey, so where'd you go to school?" I'm like, "Oklahoma State." "Oh, talking about, Justin Williams." "Yeah, they do a great job. In fact, they sent some guys over here." You know, Josh Ard was in that equipment room down in Miami as well. So yeah. I think that the reputation definitely precedes you all across the country.
They are my guys, man. I need to hire them as my agents. They're way too kind. But back then, I was immature, man. But those guys are amazing guys. They taught me a lot, and I benefited from my time in Miami when I was there, for sure.
I was going to say, speaking of the NFL, we had some slippage going on in the Vikings and Packers game. Is a couple weeks ago, I guess, and we saw some similar stuff going on with Oklahoma State in the bowl game. Now, I know that there's like different sets of cleats, but can you give us any insight onto what was going on with all the slipping in the bowl game?
You couldn't wait to get to that. I read it and I knew that question was coming from you. I just knew that was
going to come. Most of the questions are from Southwell.
Well, I kind of figured, but I knew this one firing out the gate. He was just chomping at the bit to get this.
Oh, yeah.
We got molded cleats, which are your traditional plastic cleats, and then we got seven stud cleats for everybody that plays, which fare better on the grass. The seven stud cleats, we go quarter inch. That's the rule. We can only go quarter inch on those screw ends. They do offer longer ones. NFL guys do use longer ones, but that's not permitted for us. So those are your two options. And with today's athlete, like the term goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. We offer both sets, and it's up to them what they want to wear. A lot of the guys like the comfort of the molded, even if it jeopardizes some footing. But we were prepared for both options. And, we had guys change during the game. But, yeah, slippage was definitely an issue. But we try to address that. In pregame, some guys aren't real comfortable. We don't play a lot of games on grass. That's going to change here in the future when you add UCF and I believe BYU is even grass as well. When you play on grass, guys typically need some adjustment to that, because we rarely practice on grass too. So it's not as smooth a transition as one might think, because sometimes these athletes, when they get set and they have something they like to wear, sometimes, just stay experience teaches all of us, right? So sometimes they just got to get out there and get in the pregame. And that's what we try to do is say, hey, get in pregame, test these out. And if you want to make the switch, we're ready to go. So we were ready for it. But I heard about it. There were some people calling for my job on that deal.
Oh, gosh. Not me. And I will say,
I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying, I heard the quotes,
The question, though, it actually came from my dad, because he's a Vikings fan. And so he was pretty upset that he heard some of the Vikings players opted to go with the molded cleats instead of the screw ends. And he was thinking maybe that played a part in them losing that game. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to really tie it into OSU, but we had some slipping going on in the bowl game. I wasn't thinking about it at the time because, it was like 9 o'clock Central time and I was ready for bed, but
yeah, that kick didn't do us any favors.
You handle all the equipment. You have a very important job, but I don't think people realize how important. I mean, if that 18-wheeler doesn't make it to a game, there's not going to be equipment. However, I think the most notable or the most seen part of your job is the uniforms. Yep. And OSU has some fire uniform combinations. So I'm just going to ask the million-dollar questions. How do you come up with the uniform combinations week in and week out?
Well, I'd be lying if there wasn't some experience involved with that, and just like knowing what looks good and some history and what we seem to play well in and maybe, you know, all those things factor in. And fortunately for us, we've played well for a long time. So that opens up the door for a lot of possibilities. But, you know, players have some input. We get it from the players. Not so much from the coaches. Coaches really don't. But, you know, we just want to put something out there on the field that everybody's proud of. We like keeping it. We like people keep people guessing. We like people that find interest in that. And fortunately, with the flexibility we've had with our uniforms for the last 12 years, it's just been a fun ride. I mean, the wave are just to tell us that it would have expanded to this point, I don't think any of us would have believed it when it started. But fortunately for Oklahoma State, we didn't have that staple look. We didn't have that staple helmet. We didn't have that staple, you know, image going for us. So we had a lot of flexibility when this thing started, and not a lot of programs have that, especially that were winning at the level that we were winning at, you know. And this is not any shot at anybody, but Alabama knows what they're rolling out of the tunnel in. You know, Michigan knows what they're running out of the tunnel in. Texas does the same thing. We were finally at a point where we could take advantage of having a unique brand every week. And it really played well for us. It played well in recruiting. Our fans ate it up, and it made Oklahoma State football really unique nationally, because I've met people from all across the country, and the first two things they bring up are Mike Gundy's mullet and our football uniforms. And if we're up there with Coach Gundy's mullet, then we feel like we've kind of hit the map. So,
something right.
Yeah, we must be getting something right. So it's been a fun ride. But, you know, we sit down and it's a group effort. It's a family effort. You know, if we like a look somewhere, or if we've played well somewhere, then that's going to factor in definitely. And we just try to structure a schedule. Also working with manufacturers on, you know, when we get certain helmets in, you know, sometimes that stuff gets delayed, especially in this post-COVID world we live in.
Yeah.
You know, that might factor in on what comes first, and maybe factor. But for the most part, just trying to be new and just try to keep people on their toes. So Southwell gets a little too close sometimes. I got to back him off a little bit.
Hey, man, I just see patterns kind of forming over time. And it's like, well, we got TCU on the road. It's probably going to be white, black. And then you switch it up on me right whenever I think I'm going to get it. So
yeah. You get too close sometimes. We have to sniff you out. We have to make sure to back you off, stiff arm you a little bit.
No, his encyclopedic knowledge of when we wore a combination against what team and what the final score was crazy. I'll never forget my first year at OSU, whenever we were playing Colorado on Thursday night. We walk in the locker room. It was a night game, so we're walking in the locker room. It's already dark outside. The whole locker room went crazy. We had the white helmets with the OSU brand logo and all black jerseys. It was the first time we had worn all black in a long time. And that was a game that Parrish Cox had a punt return for a touchdown. Weed into Blackman was born, you know, that night. And I just want to know, does how we perform whenever we wear a certain uniform combination dictate what or how often we're going to see that uniform?
Well, I wouldn't say it would depend on how often, because, you know, I don't think we've replicated a look really. I mean, we don't try to replicate a look at all year. I mean, we'll try to mix it up. And obviously, if the guys play well and they're adamant, you know, if we're in the same playoff game next year that just happened last night, and the players come in, they want to wear whatever they want to wear at that point, you're going to listen, you know. I mean, you want to keep them guys happy. But, I just think we like to – we'll sit down and develop a schedule and try to do that in March, so we can kind of have some force, you know, do our planning on our operations side of it.
Yeah.
And then if guys come in and say, hey, we really want to wear, you know, we really felt like we played well in this game, then we've got to listen to that. And then we'll make the adjustments if we have to. But, you know, for the most part, it's decided and it's planned out. And then we just kind of, that allows us to order the helmet decals and get all the operations side of it kind of figured out. And then hopefully when we hit the season, we're off and running.
Yeah, honestly, Justin, a big reason I ask, because I think 2011, we had the black, white, orange combo against Iowa State. And I'm pretty sure the entire following season, we did not see that combination at all. So I always wonder if that was a coincidence or if that was just, hey, it just happened that way.
All right. So I got to share the story, man. So we wore black, white, orange on that terrible day.
Yeah.
And You didn't see it again until we went to Norman, and we won when Tyreek returned to punt, right? So I
3 years.
Huh?
So three years, right?
2014. Yeah. But you also wore it a couple of games before that against Kansas State, just with the Shadow Pete instead. But
we didn't wear the exact look.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
So there was a conversation had about what do we got to lose? You know, and we love that. I love that look, right? I love the black, white, orange. It's such a great tricolor look for us on the road. I really wanted to push for that for the bowl game last year. Because it's just such a clean look for us.
It is.
You know, we go into Norman, or 20 something point dogs or whatever. And it's just like, hey, if we're ever going to break the reputation of this combo, this is the time to do it. And sure enough, Stoops punts twice and we can wear it again.
I like that. So
it works out perfect. And, it's just funny how those things kind of shake themselves out, you know?
Yeah.
The one speaking of combos, Justin, then I will let you get to your plethora of questions. The one combo that I would love to see, which does not exist, is something with the turquoise that you see with basketball. What do we need to do to make some sort of turquoise jersey for the football team happen?
Anything's possible. I mean, we don't close the door really on anything, but we're always finding ways to try to feed the monster. We just haven't crossed that line yet, but that's not to say it won't happen.
Well, keeping my fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, we'll take that into consideration.
Yeah. Social media would be lit. I guarantee you that. But you know, back to the tricolor uniforms, I was surprised that we hadn't seen really with the brand logo, like our actual modern logo, we didn't see kind of the inverse of that, I guess, where we had the black, orange, white until that West Virginia game this year. I was like, man, we've been waiting for this for a decade. Where's it been this whole time?
Well, we threw it out with the throwback.
The throwback.
I want to say that was West when Virginia. Mason was here, right?
Yeah, 2016. So like, probably my favorite.
I want to say it was 17, maybe, my first year. We did the black. You might be right. I'm sorry. You're probably it runs together for me. So I'm not going to question you. Yeah. But, and we like it. But I mean, you know, it's you never know. I mean, like there's a lot of options and there's a lot of input. So, you know, that's just part of the guessing game, you know, to try to keep it going, you know. So I'm glad that I thought it was a good look this year. That black, orange, white just kind of. Really
snuck out. Sure. Yeah, Justin, would love to know your favorite looks, right? If you could pick a top five favorite Oklahoma State University uniforms, which ones would you pick?
Now, is this the question where I'm not supposed to pick my favorite, the Barry Sanders era?
That's a layup, you know?
It's so clean, though.
I say go for it. If it's your favorite, it's your favorite.
I won't do it, okay? I won't do it, but I'm just telling you, like, without saying it, you know, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so.
It's kind of like, you know, 1A, 1B, or the 87 and 88 throwbacks, and then it's everything else, but we'd like to know what the top part of everything else is.
Well, I think you get emotionally tied to uniforms that obviously we played really well in, right? So it's hard to beat the all black from 11 in the Fiesta Bowl. What a special moment to be a part of, you know, and be there and watch that. And, you know, that early team really, it was so much fun to be a part of because that's the jumpstart of the uniform craze, right? And so, you know, Eves hit on this, but it's like when the guys came in the locker room and just all of a sudden it was like guys were jacked. I mean, to say that it's still the same, it's not. A little bit tapered off, you know, on the surprise side, because it's just, it's kind of become the norm now, you know, and no matter what we do fresh or new, you know, it just doesn't get that same reaction that those early uniform sets did. So, you know, he talks about entering the locker room. We were in the equipment room waiting to hear everybody jumping and going crazy because we felt like, man, we finally hit one out of the park, you know? So, so that holds a special place. Like I told you before, the black, white, orange is good. It's a good look. The orange, the all orange, or a lot of the orange looks, Turnout really good for us. Obviously, our fans really are back behind the orange a lot more than maybe some of the other colors. You know, they really want to see the orange out there. So I like the all white. The all white's a clean look for us too.
Love so. All whites, yes.
I don't know if I could. I think what did you say? Five? You want three? You want? Can as I give you three? As you can. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to try three here. Okay. Without the Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas, I'll go. I like the chrome orange, white, black at Texas.
Nice.
That was a good look for us, and we were really good in that look at Texas.
Yeah.
I'd say anytime we wear all white, I think that's up there. And then, and honestly, I like the white, orange, white. I think that's a traditional look for us too.
Classic.
But I'm gonna couple that. I'm gonna go 1A, 1B. All black would be 1A, 1B on that right there. So.
All right. So with the Texas one, that's a perfect example. All right. It looks great in both sets. Don't get me wrong, but I think with the black numbers and black pants in like 2017, for example, it looked a little bit better than it did in 2015. But do you have a preference between a white jersey having orange numbers versus a white jersey with black numbers?
Well, you know, why don't you just have two white jerseys?
Dude, let's go. Thank you. Oh, I can't wait for this next season. We're just going to see him rolling out with.
I love it. Yeah. Alternate whites. Every season I'll text Justin and I'll tell him, hey, I hope we see the black orange combination.
Justin, do you text Southwell or Williams?
Southwell.
Okay. It was like you're trying to be like, I hope we see this kind of hinting what's coming up.
Southwell every year. And I'm just like black orange all day. Whenever we beat OU 2011, 35-10 in that combination, I was just like, I love that look. I loved everything about that game. And, you know, to this day, anytime I see that combination come out, it's a good day.
Well, trust me, I get plenty of texts on game day. There's a lot of opinions that get thrown out there when game time hits. Trust me. So.
What's been the poorest received combo or uniform that you've put out?
Wow. Well, it depends on who you're talking about. The fans hate the fans are not big fans of the gray.
Most you didn't mention gray, so I wasn't sure if you hated gray too.
I don't. It's a clean look for us. I mean, it is. At first, I probably didn't embrace the place of it with our rotation, but it really fits for us. And honestly, the Liberty Bowl, there was some, how do I want to put this? We were having a hard time figuring out if we were going to be the home or visitor team, because as soon as the bowl announces who's playing, then the first question I have is who's home, who's away, so I can start formulating what uniform we're going to wear, because we got to get patches on the jerseys, and there's a whole operation to get that going. So my first thought is to try to get the jerseys going, and I wanted to be I probably shouldn't say this because we were all black and one, but I actually wanted to be the road team, because when we played the Delta Bowl, which was the last time that I could recall we played in Memphis, we wore gray pants and orange helmets. So it was orange, white, gray. And I think that history would have tied together to try to kind of bring in that kind of bridge the gap with the negative feelings toward the gray uniform.
Yeah.
Right. So it would have kind of added a little history to it, but one thing led to another and we ended up being the home team and it worked out for us. So, I mean, that's a side note. Yeah. We were trying to add a little history to that gray uniform to kind of try to take some of the negative opinions off of it.
Yeah, you don't really see orange and gray paired together that often. But I will say I actually pumped out a lot of good statistics about gray. Anytime I can, I'll throw that in there. But
the players, the guys in the locker room love it.
I like the gray. There was a picture that I think Eve might have sent or Justin sent to our group chat a while ago, and it was an older uniform with the gray pants, but they were like the dingy gray pants. There's a good gray and then there's a dingy gray, and I equate the dingy gray to the New York Giants football pants. They just kind of look overwashed and used, but when it's like that,
you're dark, talking about this picture.
Yes, yes, that picture, that gray, it's dingy. You need sort of the darker heather gray that we've seen in recent years that I like more.
So these are all the text messages that Justin gets every single week, right? Like this is all just being verbalized. I love it. Now, do you ever try to nudge guys to wear certain accessories? Like, I think that, you know, people look at the uniform Heisman. I always think about Michael Harrison. Like, in 2011, we played Mizzou at Mizzou. We wore the all-white. He had the gloves that went all the way up. Like, it was just a very clean look. Justin Gilbert, whenever he was in the program, always had the one sleeve. Like, he did a great job accessorizing his uniforms. Do you have certain things where you're just like, man, these accessories would look great with this combination?
Accessories are, I mean, we make a decision on the color, but anymore, I mean, these guys pretty much, they'll accessorize themselves. I mean,
their own thing.
That's not a thing we try to control. I mean, the guys want to wear it, and if that's what gets them right, then we're not here to really interfere with that. But obviously when we pack on the road and we pack a certain color accessory, if that's what we got, that's what we got, you know? So, you know, they found creative ways to get around that a little bit, but no, we don't. I mean, we'll pick a color of accessory, but if our starting quarterback comes up and says, "I need a black arm sleeve," then we're gonna.
Megan hates. Yeah, Megan absolutely hates the loose t-shirts hanging at the bottom.
Oh, it's so sloppy.
I can't.
It's so sloppy.
I'm your biggest supporter on that. I'm not a big fan of that look either. That does nothing for me. The guys seem to, I don't know why that's, I always think that we're going to get an interception to seal a big game and some guy's going to get grabbed by that loose hanging shirt. And to me, it's like, man, just let it go. Yeah. Like, let's just get down. I mean, cause you know, a long time ago, nobody wanted to wear anything loose fitting cause they didn't want it to affect their game. And now that's the style. It just surprises me so much that there's so many guys that embrace that look. It really does.
I'm also shocked that they can actually fit a t-shirt because for those who don't know, football jerseys are tiny. Those things, and then you have to put the shoulder pads on. I have seen football players need help getting a jersey on without pads on. So to add anything under that just adds to the layer that you're going to have to get things over. So to have a loose shirt, I'm like, you are taking up precious space with this tiny little jersey.
No, I say it all the time. That's the hardest part of football.
It's just getting your uniform on. On game
day. Well, it's like the old saying goes, look good, play good. That's what we always hear. So if they're going to play good and that's what they feel like makes them do it, then hey, go for it. Whatever.
Justin, who looks good across the country? Like, we'd love to know. Okay, we talked about top five at OSU. Who are your top fives across the United States?
Well, I mean, it just probably depends on who. Like, I mean, I respect every equipment program out there because there's been a lot of, especially in the last 10 to 15 years, there's been a lot of emphasis on everybody trying to do more new stuff and branch out. And you've seen a lot of creative ways for schools to the ones that look traditional as well, because they still got a job to do and they've got to, you know, I mean, like I said, the Alabamas, the Michigans, those schools, they all have a clean look too. They just don't have the flexibility to rotate it. I think UCF, Central Florida, does a great job. I knew the guy there. I got to know him when we played in the Camping World Bowl in 17. And he did an outstanding job, and they've continued that. I think they just find creative ways, especially being in Orlando, to add to their look. I think obviously, like I said, LSU's look is great. I don't know. I'm just drawn to the equipment itself. So, I mean, I know how much work goes into making that happen on Saturday. I just respect the guys in the profession that put it in and put it out there on Saturday. And so I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like I have any favorites, but, you know, I think Texas has a clean look. I think, you know, USC has a really clean traditional look. Washington had some flexibility there. They did some cool things.
Absolutely.
About Army Navy?
Army Navy, that's awesome. And I don't know as a college football fan, I'd love to go to that game. Everybody that's ever been to that game and that atmosphere says that's a bucket list item. But like Texas A&M, you know, they dabbled in it for a while and did a lot of cool creative stuff. So I don't know. It's just been really neat to see everybody's take on this whole uniform concept. Oregon obviously is up there too. So I guess it's just kind of what you want to get out of it. But there's been so much to so many layers of this uniform and craze that it's just it's gotten out of control. It's been great.
So there are like special uniforms, and we've talked about, you know, maybe collaborating with Folds of Honor for military appreciation, and a lot of other schools have done something similar. And I've noticed a lot of the universities will incorporate the American flag within their logo, but Oklahoma State hasn't done that. Is that by design? Is there a reason behind that?
Our American flag's on the helmet every game. So
keep it easy.
Maybe I'm old school, but that brand needs to be orange and black. Right. So ever since 2002, ever since 9/11, right? So what is that?
2001.
So that was 21 years now. That American flag's been on the back of the helmet. And that's the tradition part of this thing, I think, in my opinion, because I was here when we started putting it on there, and it's been there ever since. So that's where our American flag's at.
You have to tell Justin about the poll that you ran on Twitter this early.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And it's just for fun, obviously. But I ran a poll asking Oklahoma State fans if they had a choice, you know, what brand would you want to see on our uniforms? And the choices were Nike, Jordan, Under Armour, and Adidas. And overwhelmingly, out of the 619 votes we received, Nike got 64% and Jordan Brand
22%.
So Under Armour and Adidas, I think some of the Adidas votes may have been OU fans that were trolling, but
who voted for Under Armour? That's what I want to know.
It was not Eve.
Yeah. Needless to say, though, I mean, it's overwhelmingly Nike, but you know, with the Jordan brand having kind of that unique, you know, one per conference, and OU moving to the SEC, was there any talks of maybe switching to the Jordan brand and being the standalone in the Big 12 for the upcoming uniforms?
There's been talks, but I don't know how serious they are. Matt Holliday talks to me about it.
Okay. I see him rocking the Jordans out there. Yeah.
From my understanding, that decision is strictly made by MJ himself.
Oh. Interesting.
That goes straight to the man. So I don't know if our boy Ricky Fowler puts it in his ear. Maybe he might he might give us the nod. But we're in a really great relationship with Nike. Yeah. Nike schools do not suffer at all. As you can see, the performance on the field, it speaks for itself. Would it be a fun twist? Maybe. But I'm perfectly happy with the swoosh. They do an outstanding job, got plenty of connections there, met plenty of great people there, and they take care of us 100%. So if you're asking me, I'm happy where we're at, and I think it's a great relationship, and we're looking forward to a bright future with them.
That's fine by me.
Yeah, if it's not Nike, it's kind of hard to look at, in my opinion. You know? But I do love the Jumpman logo, I will say that.
Yeah. So, all right, I noticed that you started incorporating some chrome into the helmets in 2014 before we switched to the new template in 2016. So, you know, we had, I think the first one, we had the orange chrome, Pete.
Got the props ready. Right.
We had the icy Pete. For some reason, we never saw the giant Pete on a black with chrome, but... you know, with that chrome, it kind of led into that new era in 2016. So my question is, with the triple stripes that we've been seeing as of late, you know, with the full Pete helmet and with the Curse of Cowboys.
Oh my God. How many helmets do you have?
Hey, for everybody that's just listening on the audio, I want you to know that Justin has a whole collection of mini helmets probably all over his house right now.
I envision this like magician's hat that's sitting in his lap and he just keeps pulling stuff out of it. I mean, I expect like a rabbit to come out here in a minute and be like, oh, that's not
it. Yeah. But we have a unique kind of triple stripe that we've seen over the last three seasons, I believe. So is that any indication of what we're potentially going to see with the next uniform template?
Well, it's just a part of our history. I mean, Bob Fenimore's uniform had that stripe on it. So when you look up and down our history, that stripe's kind of come back. And so, mm-hmm. You know, there were big shoes to fill here when I took over, because the uniform thing had already been going. And so it was my responsibility to put my twist on it a little bit. Our twist on it a little bit. And we haven't pushed that stripe quite as much. And that was a new angle to take it. And that's where it went. So,
I like that.
You never know where it'll show back up.
So is there a reason that we stopped seeing so much chrome? Like, even it was getting incorporated with the badge, like the very subtle chrome on the outside stripe there, but it seemed like it was very popular early on 2016 and kind of dropped off over time. So is there a reason that we stopped seeing the chrome as much?
I think, you know, when this uniform set runs its course, so will the badge. And that decision was made with the rebranding, the new branding guide that was put out by the university. I think they were trying to really kind of branding consistency was a point of emphasis for them. And so I don't think it was intentional, but I just think that the direction of the chrome orange helmet looked great. It's outstanding, but its flexibility really was limited. We were limited on its flexibility because you could wear it with a black jersey. You can wear it with a white jersey, but when you put it on the orange jersey, it really looked red. Mm-hmm. And even though on the white jersey it looked great and black, it looked great. Just we moved that to the orange that you see behind me to give us a little bit of flexibility, and then to wear that orange helmet with an orange jersey and add more combinations to the mix. So not to say it won't ever show back up, but that's just kind of the direction over the last few years we wanted to take it. And it enabled us to get a couple more throwbacks in the mix and also a few more helmet options in the mix that we could wear with certain combinations.
Mm. Gotta love the throwbacks, by the way.
That's everybody's favorite.
It's a great homecoming tradition that's been popular since 2014. And of course, in that 2014 season, we know it wasn't a true throwback logo. It was kind of a faux throwback. But I do have that helmet back here as well.
That's the first
every helmet.
Yeah, and so it was like modeled based off of the one that you have behind you, I'm assuming.
Well, honestly, that was a decision made back in the old office. We used to call it the laboratory. That's where we'd kind of just throw together ideas about what we wanted to see. And I don't know. It just hit us that, hey, let's just do a special throwback logo on a homecoming helmet. And we couldn't imagine the amount of positive responses we got for it. Yeah. And with America's greatest homecoming, it has become probably the most popular aspect of our uniform deal because of everybody with all the new stuff we've got going. That's kind of like our tip of the cap to the alumni when they come back and see us. So with everything new and not all the older generation like all the new, that's their piece of this too. Yeah. So it just has really been able to appeal to all generations and all sides. And luckily, like I said, we have a long history of just wearing different looks and we haven't had to replicate one yet. So that's made it really unique as well.
And is there any reason that we've only seen this helmet, for example, for the homecoming game rather than like throwing it on an all white uniform?
Well, obviously, like I said, there's a branding guide now and there's some restrictions on when they will permit us to use certain looks. So, they've really done a lot over the years to try to get some guidelines. I think there's some people that wanted to wrangle some of us in on where we were taking some things, and maybe we should have been, but they've kind of I wouldn't say they've said no, but they've kind of suggested to keep that to special occasions, just to make sure that we don't lose our identity with some of this stuff. I think there's some concern there. So, and that's respectful. We still get to do fun things and we're able to do them in a way that I think everybody gets to enjoy, and it's still fun. There's still some flexibility there, so that's nice.
That makes sense. So what determines if we're going to see just the throwback helmet versus the full throwbacks like we saw and loved in 2018 for the homecoming game that year. And then we saw it again. I think it was 2020, where we wore all white actually at home versus West Virginia with the 87 throwback. So what's the determining factor in all of that?
Well, my first project when I first got the job, and I don't know if you know the story, but I didn't get the job until late after spring ball. And coach just basically called me in the office and said, all right, like it's no big deal. Just that's yours. And my first call was to my wife and told her that I got the job. And then my next call was to Nike to try to get the Barry Sanders thing off the ground because I really wanted.
Oh, wow.
I really wanted to get the 30th anniversary of the Heisman Trophy. I mean, that was long overdue. And I'm not blaming anybody. This was nobody's fault. But I really feel like that was a unique way to recognize the greatest running back ever to play football.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, to truly honor him and his teammates in that era, you had to go head to toe. I mean, there's, you know, you throw a helmet out on that deal, it just doesn't do it justice. So, and then obviously Thurman, just as great of a Cowboy as Barry Sanders is, you know, you get a chance to put him in the Ring of Honor and have another special occasion like that. You got to match it. So the unique thing with Thurman's throwback was that every bowl game he played in, he wore all white.
Mm.
And if I have anything to do with it, that's the only time we'll ever wear all white at home. Because you want to honor one of your greats, and that's the way to do it, you know? And I thought that was a unique way to honor Thurman Thomas and his legacy because the uniform design was the same. So there was a lot of thought that went into it. I'm not saying there's not another opportunity to do a full head to toe, but you won't find two better guys and two better Cowboys to do a full head to toe for than those two. So you're making me go back to work and find another reason to go.
That's some great work. Appreciated across the masses. So.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, I'm one of those guys who I really appreciate the innovative, the new looks, and I also like the classics as well, right? And I think that, you know, people like Maryland, they get a little crazy with it, but at the same time, you have a guy this week, right? Alan Bowman just transferred from Michigan, where he's gone from you have the staple uniform combination, you know what you're wearing every single week at Michigan, and you're coming into Oklahoma State where you know you have a plethora of different combinations. Do you think that the uniforms play a huge role in getting guys over to the program, whether it's out of high school or even in the transfer portal?
This is probably going to be an underwhelming answer. I think there was a time that it did. You know, I think there was a time that it really captivated the athletes. And I always say it like this. I don't think athletes choose schools based off uniforms, but I think it gets your foot in the door. I think it does appeal to a crowd, right? And over the last couple of years, especially, athletes are choosing schools based on other reasons, right? The game's changed.
NFL development, yep.
They're motivated differently. And that's the world we live in. I do think it opens the door for us still. I do think there's a place for it. I just don't think it's as emphasized as it used to be because of the other benefits that go along with playing college football.
Yeah. We could probably spend another 3 hours going down the list of Justin Southwell's questions, but I don't want to keep you all night. So Southwell, I will ask you one final question for Justin. You have to pick. You have to pick.
Hey, I can come back on. All right.
Hopefully.
We're going to have a part
two, baby.
We will definitely take you up on that because there are questions that I would like the answers to, but you know, we just can't keep you here from 3 hours. I don't think people would want to listen to us for 3 hours, but while Justin's deciding, I have my one final question. What is your favorite helmet logo brand on the helmet that we use?
Well, I've kind of already sold that too. The original brand on the Barry Sanders Thurman Thomas era helmet, that was actual based. I mean, that's a cattle brand and we're Cowboys. So, yeah, I mean, I was a kid in the stadium back in the Lewis Field days watching these guys play. My earliest memories are with that on the side of the helmet. Right. So that's where it really hits home for me. And then when I started in school here in 99, that was still on the helmet. And my first year in equipment was the last year we wore that logo. And it so that one hits me. That one hits me here.
In the feels. Gets you in the feels.
Yeah. Right. I don't hide my feelings very well.
Man, so many great questions to ask.
And you came up with all of them.
I would say, you know, the listeners, they deserve to know, all right? We haven't seen the gray helmet since 2015. And it was the carbon fiber. Got one here.
Oh, my God.
How many helmets do you have?
All of them. All of them. And, you know, I was surprised that we didn't see it from 2016 through this last season. And I was just wondering, are the gray helmets retired for good? Or are we going to see the gray helmet resurrection?
I'm just going to start by saying this. Go hug your wife. Okay? There's no way my wife would let me have that many mini helmets in my house. Yes. All those mini helmets would have to be somewhere in this office. There's no way she would let me have those in my house. So you need to really appreciate what you got there.
They are mini helmets, so they don't take up a ton of space.
Also, where are they coming from? Like, where are they right now? Because you're just reaching down and pulling a new one up.
Plot twist, his wife is handing them to him.
Well, you need to cook her dinner, take her out. Yeah, she's very good to you, I promise you. So,
I know this.
Good. Well, the gray helmet that you're referring to turned into the Paisley helmet we wore a few years ago, which was probably the most unique helmet we've thrown out there. We had a group do it, and they placed it was called gunmetal to kind of give it that tone on tone look.
Yeah.
And it kind of fit, you know, with Pistol Pete Six Shooter, kind of just really had a cool, unique twist to it. So that when we went to the new uniform look with the Paisley, and we were able to use a gunmetal and put that Paisley on the helmet and incorporate in the shell, that's where it went into. And then with the evolution of technology, the cost of helmets have almost tripled over the last 10 years. Wow. With the technology. When we bring athletes in, our student athletes get scanned for their helmets now. That comes at a cost, right? Mm-hmm. And so there were some sacrifices that had to be made to make that happen, and that was one of them. It was our, you know, we love the look. We love the helmets. We're not saying it's not going to come back, but right now we just had to focus a little bit more on adapting to the technology and the availability of using that to help protect on the protection side of it, and worry a little bit less on the cosmetic side, just to make sure our student athletes got the best of the best.
Nice. Love it. It's for a good cause, you know?
Well, you don't make everybody happy in this job, I'll promise you, you know? No matter how hard you try, not everybody's happy.
You make me happy, Justin. You make me happy.
Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, man. Well, Justin Williams, thank you so much for joining us and putting up with us for, you know, almost an hour. I loved hearing the perspective. It's so interesting to me to hear how all of this comes together. And I'm so excited to see all the combo. I mean, is it week one yet, guys? I'm ready to see some 2023 uniform combos.
Well, for what it's worth, I need a little bit more time. Okay, so
we'll give you until March. Start sending this pick.
Spring game previews. We'll be good.
Justin needs you guys are two of the best to come through here as far as people. I'm truly blessed to know both of you. I'm glad that you guys asked me to do this. I'm honored that you guys would take the time to ask me these questions. But I'm glad you're part of the Cowboy family, and I look forward to you guys coming to see me here pretty soon.
I appreciate that, Justin. Yeah, we'll be there as soon as we can for sure.
Let's do it. I might be able to get you a new hoodie. I might be able to update the hoodie, man. I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying I might be able to update you.
Yeah, we lost this game. I do need a new hoodie. Right?
And we will have you back anytime to answer more of Southwell's uniform combo questions. Maybe we'll do a little quiz on what uniform was worn for what game in what year. You know,
I've just got to say, you know, you don't know everything until you start asking questions. Everybody thinks I'm the Oklahoma State uniform expert. I'm not. I've got tons of questions, and I'm glad that I have the real expert here to to figure out some of these answers. So thank you again for being on, Justin. We really appreciate it.
Well, you guys are too kind, and I'm here anytime. You just let me know when you got hopefully we'll give you more reasons to ask them.
Well, thank you all listening. Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. Wow, that was a mouthful. I'm Megan Robinson, Justin Southwell, Eve Batoba. Again, thanks for listening. Of course, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes. Go Pokes.